discretion is advised.
Live from Glasgow, Scotland, it's time for the revolution in professional wrestling radio as Robert and Kenny prepare to take you inside the ropes.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Ropes. It is a balmy, sticky, humid, disgustingly horrible night in Glasgow, but we are here to talk about the draft.
Yay for Raw.
Well,
boo for SmackDown.
Well, we'll see. I'm Robert Duffin. I'm here with Kenny McIntosh. And last night, the first WWE draft in 5 years, 6 years, 5 years, 6 years. 5 years?
5 years, yeah. 2011 is the last one.
5 years? Okay. The first draft in 5 years took place. Back to the old school format where it was actually a draft and not some silly lottery that looked more like a, you know, like a slot machine where everyone was randomly drafted here and there for no good reason, even though it was obviously planned. Took place for the first live SmackDown, or sorry, should I say SmackDown Live, on the USA Network. It was a four-hour extravaganza, ultimately. Four hours in that draft center, and then 2 hours of SmackDown Live. There were some matches on SmackDown, probably not going to talk about them because, well, I don't think anyone really cares about them. They were just there while everybody waited for the next round of drafts to happen. But I guess we were promised that it was going to change the landscape of the WWE forever. And maybe some of us here, me, you, maybe you, Kenny, as well, sort of hope that that was a little bit more literal than what actually occurred. Maybe it didn't change as much as we would have hoped, but we'll get into it. So this is it. This is the Inside the Ropes special, chatting about the 2016 WWE draft that would see two distinct rosters created for Raw on Mondays and SmackDown Live on Tuesdays. And before we get to the draft... Oh, sorry.
No, you go first.
I was just going to say that before we got to the draft itself, we obviously had to have the appointing of the general managers, commissioners. I'm not really sure what the difference is. They've all been doing the same job for the past 16, 17, 18, 20, 25 years, whatever. But, you know, SmackDown has commissioners and a GM, and Raw has a commissioner and a GM. So we'll talk about that as well, obviously, because that was quite eventful. But what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, and at the end of this show, once we've talked about the general managers and the commissioners and all the draft picks, we are going to tell you who is going to be covering which show for Inside the Ropes.
Oh.
It has been decided.
How? How has this been decided?
I decided today.
You decided?
So it's binding as the majority shareholder... Robert owns to let you in behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, Robert owns 49% of Inside the Ropes.
Do not pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
And I own 51%. Therefore, actually, we should just tell people now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't even know. This is unfair. This is like when Jim Ross got drafted to SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Is this like when Jim Ross got drafted to SmackDown?
If you've been listening from What Culture before, or whether you've listened to Inside the Ropes for ages, you'll know that there was a show called The Raw Reaction that became The Raw Rundown.
Well, actually,
David J.
To be
McCutcheon.
Fair, there was a show called The Raw Rundown a lot longer than there was a Raw Reaction.
There was an initial Raw Rundown with you and I a couple of years ago, until we realised that we just couldn't do that show anymore because the television was horrible. But basically, David and I have done the Raw Rundown, and I think that we shouldn't not give people what they want. So I think that David and I really should just continue to bring you the Raw Rundown, and Robert and Sondra, since they are the innovators here at Inside the Ropes, and they're able to give you that edgy content that David and I can't bring, that the SmackDown summary should really be hosted by Sondra Rheinstein and Robert Duffin.
So basically what you're saying is business as usual for you, and I get the shiter. Is that the case here? But you know what, though? What the people are really going to want to know is, if that's happening, when are we going to podcast?
So
original recipe Inside the Ropes.
Original recipe. Well, what I was thinking is, and this is all kind of see how we go. So,
well, basically,
we podcast
you're making it up along.
I am, but I thought I'd continue the trend that we're about to talk about. So, we will podcast on Mondays as we normally do. Then on Tuesdays, you will get the Raw Rundown with myself and David. Then on Thursdays, I think it's probably a safe day to say that you and Sondra could have turned out a SmackDown summary by Thursday.
Yeah, well, just to fill people in on that, I would love to be able to watch SmackDown live every Tuesday night and then record a podcast right afterwards with Sondra. But she is an American woman who lives in America land with an American time. And also, in 3 weeks, I'm going to have a full-time teaching job, so I can't stay up till 4 in the morning and watch the SmackDown as much as I would love to. So I'll need to watch that on Wednesday evenings. So it might be a safer bet to say that you're talking late Wednesday night or possibly Thursday before a SmackDown review can be recorded. But I tell you what, it's going to be the best goddamn SmackDown review, and we're coming for you. We're coming for you. And when our ratings get big, because we're the underdogs. What would be the point? There's only one person I could poach, and it'd be David. Stupid. Then you'd have no one. You'd have to do it yourself.
That would be a shame if I had to just talk on my own. Anyway, and then we will... I mean, I guess, should we do like a kind of like a fourth show? Is four too much for us to do another week and a half hour at the weekend?
Well, I don't think the people would complain. But we are making this up. We do not know. Yes.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's the rough plan as of right now. I mean, to be honest, what could probably happen in a couple of days is that Robert says, "Look, I'm not getting stuck with a shiter. You need to get your wee tombola out from the Royal Rumble and actually do a wee draft," which we might have to do.
I'll probably just end up getting SmackDown again. That's the kind of luck I have. Plus, we don't know if SmackDown's going to be rubbish. We don't know. We just assumed that. You know this. Well, we'll tell you what they've done in case you. Well, why would you not know what they've done? But if you're listening,
who would be listening to this that hasn't? Anyway,
actually, there's probably some people that don't watch it.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
In fact, we know.
So I guess we should talk about from Raw. They decided. So Stephanie and Shane are both.
Oh,
the commissioner.
And then obviously, if it's the Raw Rundown, then Wednesdays or Thursdays, you can expect to hear from the team at the SmackDown summary.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen.
You just got summarized, bitch.
So, Shane is the commissioner of SmackDown. Stephanie is the commissioner of Raw. And they both get to name a general manager. So, Stephanie comes out first on Raw. And then Shane comes out. They have a back and forth. And Stephanie introduces her general manager. And it is Mick Foley. Hardcore legend Mick Foley.
Surprise.
Bit of an unexpected one.
Yeah, unexpected in that...
Well,
what I was going to say... sorry, what I was going to say was, when you think about it, kind of makes sense, because you've got that stupid reality show to...
I thought you were going to say stupid beard.
No, or stupid daughter. stupid son-in-law. Actually, that one's not unfair. But the... It's true,
fucking
though.
Clown.
It's true. Anyway, I'm all flustered because of my cough. Foley has the reality show. It might not be stupid, it's just reality show. I usually preface those words with stupid. So I guess that kind of makes sense when you think about it. But in the moment, I just thought it would be Triple H. I think everyone thought it would. Why would she not name her husband as the GM of Raw? But I guess she went with Foley, which is an interesting dynamic because obviously... It is a good thing, I think, that she picked a babyface GM, because I think for a long time we've been saying that it's just, you know, the heel authority figure is just so... So if it was a case of Shane as the babyface commissioner who picks a babyface GM, and then if she picked a heel one, then maybe the dynamic wouldn't be that great. And I think it's, I think the dynamic between Steph and Foley could be quite interesting moving forward, because he might have the superstar's interests more in his mind than she will, and that might, that might be quite fun to see.
Yeah, I like the idea of what it could be, but I think my fear is that it ends up being Stephanie sort of, you know, bossing Foley about, and him sort of, because the whole problem is that with Stephanie, there's no comeuppance to anything, you know. So whatever she does, the end game, unless, I mean, unless this is a really big end game and Noelle Foley's going to turn up and do some Stephanie.
Oh God.
God forbid she interviews her, but you know, whatever she does, she will do something potentially. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what the.
Well, she is training to be a wrestler.
She is. So yeah, but then the one that we all knew was coming, and I think Robert was probably secretly just hoping and wishing and praying that it was true, is the return of Daniel Bryan as the new SmackDown general manager.
Yes. If you drafted me to SmackDown on Monday night when this happened, I'd probably been a little bit happier than I am now post draft. But there we go. I guess I get the Bryan show, so that's a positive.
And I really enjoyed his whole. I said this to you yesterday. I thought that that Monday night was one of Daniel Bryan's best promo nights he's ever had. I really liked the way he kind of tied together that he fought the Authority before and won, and you know, now it's competition in another way, and he's going to lead SmackDown and all that sort of stuff. I liked the story, and I liked the dynamic with Foley and Bryan saying that they were going to be against each other. It was all quite fun.
And I agree, and just generally, I am in love with him. So he can
and
do
also
no wrong.
Just I did forget to say about Inside the Ropes, obviously, you know, Robert and I, we podcast twice a week. Robert Saunders do the SmackDown summary, David and I do the Raw rundown. Really hard to not say reaction because I'm looking at the logo for reaction right now, but we will all converge together.
I'm gonna have to get some SmackDown summary logos, t-shirts made, some merch, keyrings, mugs.
Just get the Jeff Wrestling ones and paint over them. I think he's done a sale.
Fire sale.
But we will all converge once a month for our pay-per-view roundtable.
Yes, but all four people will be together that one night a month where the brands merge.
Indeed. and when Robert coughs. So I guess we should get straight to the SmackDown Live debut, the draft show. Overall, before we get into picks and all that sort of stuff... coming out of the show, how did you feel about it? Was it a newsworthy show? Was it something that you... I mean, because it did feel like a more important SmackDown than I can remember.
Yes, it was more important. It was certainly newsworthy. It does impact the shows going forward. I think that ultimately it was a little bit disappointing. Now, I read Jim Ross's blog or a quote from him where he said that ultimately, you know, there's going to be a lot of hot takes on the draft. But the success of this will only be judged next April in Orlando. That's the first time anybody should say whether the draft is working or not. Unless, obviously, it is utterly calamitous within the first month, which I doubt it will be. But I think that the problem is that everybody really bought into the idea that it was going to be something really new and exciting. And I think that people maybe overestimated exactly what it was they were going to do. And maybe a few picks here and there could have been switched to sort of beef SmackDown up a little bit. But ultimately, like from what I remember, the whole reason, the whole impetus behind SmackDown going live on Tuesday nights and the brand split was that USA Network or NBC weren't happy with the ratings for SmackDown. And they were like, this is such a dud show. So they put it up to the live slot and they're going to the brand extension. And I kind of think that what a lot of fans were maybe hoping for was that SmackDown would seem distinctly different, that it would seem like a different type of show. And ultimately, I'm not really sure that they've done what people hoped they would do, which is fine. You know, there's no entitlement, there's no obligation to do what the fans think you're going to do. But it did seem a little bit strange, just remembering things from Raw, that, for example, you know, SmackDown has Daniel Bryan as GM, and it's called The Underdog Show, and yet they decide to create a cruiserweight division and put it on Raw. That didn't really make a lot of sense to me. I kind of think the cruiserweights should be on SmackDown, especially given that the Cruiserweight Classic that's happening right now on the network, you know, they're even saying on it that it was in some way inspired by Bryan. So why is it not on his show? You know, it seems to be a bit strange. And also, SmackDown had the history of the cruiserweights. You know, when people think of SmackDown in its heyday, they think of, you know, the Paul Heyman era of 2002, 2003, the SmackDown 6, and obviously the cruiserweights then, Tajiri, Rey Mysterio, Matt Hardy when he was slimming down to get into that cruiserweight division, all that all that sort of stuff. So it seems a little bit odd, but of course it was such a throwaway announcement. You know, they've not said anything since. They've not really said how it's going to happen. And then obviously, in case I forget to mention it, they also drafted Kalisto to SmackDown, who, I mean, surely he should be drafted to the show that's got the cruiserweight division on it, because the cruiserweight division is surely the biggest chance for him to really shine and find his niche and finally become the performer a lot of people think he can be. Not in a mic, obviously, with his lucha thing. But
literally, so, lucha thing.
And then also, I think the NXT, yeah, I think the NXT involvement, everybody thought Balor would come up, which happened. We'll talk about that. But, you know, the other picks seem a little bit strange, and there's not really any distinct decision on what's happening with the tag division and the women's division. There's women and tag teams on both shows, but they've not really said what's going to happen with the champions. Becky Lynch in a promo. One of the things I was really interested about last night was a lot of the promos were off the cuff. You could tell. We'll talk about them. But Becky Lynch did say, you know, I'm going to have to talk to Shane about the fact that I want to chase the gold, but the champion's not on SmackDown. So I don't really know if they've not decided yet, which is entirely possible. But I think there's a lot of people disappointed. And I actually think one of our listeners, Alan Proven, said something which I think is, it sounds a little bit more damning than I would maybe want to say it, but it sort of makes sense to me that he said, instead of feeling like SmackDown's become its own show, he feels like he's getting hours 4 and 5 of Monday Night Raw, because it's just like the guys you don't see the first 3 hours you're going to see in the 2 hours on Tuesday. And with regards to my point about the USA Network, I think it's really interesting to note that they drafted John Cena and Randy Orton to SmackDown. Now, sorry, hold on. A little bit just. When in 2011, the last draft, they drafted John Cena to SmackDown. Then they drafted Randy Orton to SmackDown. And for the duration of that Raw draft, everybody was like, holy shit. Like, they can't put both Cena and Orton on SmackDown. Like, that's insane. And then at the end of that night, they did end up drafting Cena back. It's really funny to me that this year, 5 years later, to answer the question if people think how much has changed in WWE, answer a lot. They could draft Randy Orton and John Cena to SmackDown, and people are turning around and saying, it's a bit disappointing. It's not much, doesn't really feel like a big show with those two guys on it.
Yeah.
That's mental, isn't it? But I wondered if those two guys have been drafted over because they attract the casual fans, and that to the USA Network suits, who probably don't know an awful lot about the ins and outs of wrestling, they're kind of going, hey guys, you wanted better ratings for SmackDown? We need to put John Cena and Randy Orton on SmackDown for you every week. And they're going to go, wow, brilliant. You know, that show's going to get a bump. And, you know, hopefully it will. But
do you think that maybe SmackDown, it almost seems to me when you look at the SmackDown roster, which we'll get to, you know, we're going to go through it, but the SmackDown roster almost feels like, here's the established people. You know, here's John Cena and Randy Orton. Here's veterans like Del Rio and AJ Styles. Here's
and
guys
Dolph
who've for a couple of years. Yeah, Dolph Ziggler, Bray Wyatt, guy with a few years. Whereas Raw seems to be, here's all the new stuff. Here's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, Finn Balor,
which
the
I
women.
Can't believe that they put
all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I'm not too sure. I can't really see the vision yet, but I'm not gonna, you know,
no,
crap.
No, I'm not gonna crap on it. I have to be positive because I'm fucking reviewing it every week now. Thanks to the
Although I think
draft.
The fairness is that as soon as WWE do another draft, we do another draft.
Or as soon as it becomes very obvious they've given up,
we just give up. Yeah.
Yeah. But
okay. Well, let's go through the picks. So the way it worked was Raw got 3, SmackDown got 2. I think that really kind of stilted the whole evening, to be honest. But let's just go through. So, Raw kickoff, their number one pick is Seth Rollins.
Now, I'll be honest. See, just now, that makes sense to me because I think he is the blue chipper. I think he is your number one guy, ultimately.
And Stephanie thought he was going to win the belt. So she wanted to have him there.
Yeah, so that is that takes up, because somebody did, I did see someone say, you know, if the WWE champion is not drafted first, does that undermine him? Short answer, yes. Long answer, no, because ultimately, like you say, Stephanie thought he was, that Rollins was going to win and she was going to get the belt on Raw. I just see, just for me, that I'm not coming at this critically. See, if you switch Ambrose and Rollins around, SmackDown's a better show already.
Yeah, like, it's true.
I think that like Rollins is the centerpiece of SmackDown. I would just enjoy that more, and Ambrose can be on Raw with, you know, more of the kind of mid card guys beefing it up. I feel like Raw could have taken some of the shit names because SmackDown maybe needed a Cesaro or a Sami Zayn. But anyway, we'll get to it. But Rollins as the first draft pick says a lot about how they view him, and I'm glad that they view him that way.
And then we got Dean Ambrose as SmackDown's first pick, which, you know, it had to be that. You know,
yeah, if it was anybody else, Jesus Christ.
They had to be the first two picks. And I think storyline-wise, as much as, like you say, SmackDown would probably be a better show with Rollins on it, I think storyline-wise, it does make more sense for Stephanie to pick Rollins because she hates Ambrose.
Yes.
So they took Ambrose. Goes back to Raw. They pick the WWE Women's Champion, Charlotte, which I think... people have talked about it a little bit, but I don't think people have kind of discussed how epic that is. That the second draft pick for somebody. In 2002, it was The Rock, then Hulk Hogan, then The Undertaker, then Steve Austin, or the NWO, or whatever it was. Huge, huge names. Charlotte is now one of the first two picks.
Yeah, it's hugely significant. And again, it says a lot to me about where they view... these people and how much they value them. You know, they're the top two picks to the flagship show where was a guy who is, what, how old is Rollins? 29?
Yeah, 29-30.
29-30, and your top female star who is like a legit athlete. So kudos. I think that looks fantastic. I wish they were on SmackDown, but there you go.
Then for SmackDown, we get the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. Great pick.
Yeah, very good. It felt
the MVP
like...
of SmackDown, I think.
Oh yeah, he will be. He'll be the highlight of my week. I've got no doubt.
Then we go back to Raw for their final pick of the first round, which was Finn Balor from NXT. Finally, the teasing is over, and he's back. Well, he's not back. He's now on the main roster on Raw. I think the big thing for me, kind of with a day to sort of mull everything over, I think the reason that SmackDown for me feels a little bit like not on the same level as Raw is I feel like SmackDown needed to pick someone huge from NXT.
Yeah,
you know?
I think SmackDown should have picked Nakamura.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Or Joe, I know why those guys are not drafted. I agree with all the people I said at the time. Everybody who's saying William Regal should have had immunity picks, where he said these are like three or four people that you can't take. Like, say you can't take Joe, Asuka, Bailey and Nakamura because they are respectively the champions and number one contenders, say something like that.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. Or they could have done something where NXT gets to pick whoever isn't the champion the night after TakeOver. So it's Nakamura or Joe. But your pick means that you get one of them. You don't get to choose who.
Yeah. I said that to you last night. Yeah.
So that would have been a nice way to do it.
I just think that the thing people get pointing out is that unless there was a reason, which we were not given, although we know why, like everyone knows why, but when you're not given the reason on TV, you're like, well, why did Daniel Bryan not pick Samoa Joe or Nakamura? You know, like, why would he not?
Because everybody, you know, you could sit through these drafts and really pick apart why people pick people before other superstars, but I think they needed to explain.
Like, we know why.
Those
guys are the touring brand faces of NXT, and do not let me forget, I need to have a little bit of a rant about NXT before this episode is over.
Sure, that's fine. Top of round two, back to Raw. They picked Roman Reigns, that's what it is.
I guess it had to be. He got booed mercilessly. I just want to say shout out to Booker T on the draft center. because he was hilarious the whole night. Like, he just kept saying stuff that you were like, is he supposed to say that? When John Cena got, sorry, spoilers, when John Cena gets drafted to SmackDown, Booker T was like, do you see this as demotion? when the Usos came in at the end into the draft center, Booker T actually said to them, I mean, you know the fans, like, totally hate Roman Reigns, which was really, really funny. So Booker was on fire. He was very funny. But yeah, Roman, I guess it makes sense, got booed at the building, obviously. Stephanie was like, well, as soon as Mick Foley said, I know, Stephanie, you might not agree with this, but we have to go with it. And I was like, right, it's Reigns. I get it.
Yeah. Also,
and I think there is more long. I would much rather see more matches between Reigns and Rollins than Reigns Rollins and Ambrose, because I don't think Rollins and Ambrose are that great together. I don't think the chemistry is as good as people think it is. I think that I'd rather see a couple more months of Rollins and Reigns matches.
Also, big shout out to Stephanie for her Raw dress, which was amazing.
That was quite something. And Shane for his SmackDown shoes.
His SmackDown shoes. And Daniel Bryan for looking like he's not quite conforming. John Cena was the first pick in round two for SmackDown. This was the big one. This was the, you know, this needed to happen for SmackDown to have a shot, really. And the interesting thing about John Cena going to SmackDown is that if you look at the SmackDown roster once we're finished, and you kind of try and piece together a card for house shows, it's doable. But John Cena is it hinges on Cena quite a bit. And, you know, he's quite clearly on the way out, slowly, but surely. But so I think that with this kind of next year or two they have seen on SmackDown, he needs to be really putting guys over in stories, because otherwise you're going to get to a point in a year or two where fans are coming to arenas and John Cena's not on the cards, you know? So, yeah, that pick needed to happen. Then Raw decides to go for Brock Lesnar,
which I described to you last night as empty carbs.
Empty.
Because I think it's just one of those things that it seems like a big pick, seems like a big deal.
And he's going to fight whatever they want him to.
Yeah, and it is a big deal, but, you know, he's not there an awful lot, so
it does make sense though. That, like, if this was really a draft and you really had three picks and you were Raw, you would use one pick to get Lesnar.
Of course you would. Of course you would.
So,
and obviously SmackDown take. Well, who do they take next?
They take Randy Orton.
Which I was going to say is like, well, you know, so who cares about the consequences of their SummerSlam match, because they're going to be separated afterwards. So, whatever.
And then the final pick for that round, Raw decided to go for the New Day.
And they didn't get split up. Hooray!
Yay! So then we go back to Raw again. And for this round, Raw decided to go for Sami Zayn. Which, I like Sami Zayn on Raw better than SmackDown. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, but then I liked it because I thought that somebody else was going to go to SmackDown. So I was kind of like, okay, put Sami on Raw.
I'd rather have Owens on Raw, and I want Sami on SmackDown so that he can feud with Cena and AJ, Bray Wyatt, spoilers. But, you know.
Sometimes you don't get what you want. Then we got SmackDown decided to pick Bray Wyatt, which
I think this is just to soapbox here. This is it for him. This is make or break time for Wyatt. He's been separated from the others. He's going to SmackDown on his own. They need to use this opportunity to see that Bray Wyatt that we saw that one night on Raw before he got injured. Super babyface Bray. Babyface Wyatt. That's awful. Don't ever do that again, Robert.
Babyface.
He needs to be one of the top faces on SmackDown. I want to see that happen. Like, this
I don't, I don't know why, but I feel like I really want to see a babyface Bray Wyatt against a heel AJ Styles.
Yep, give us it. Because I think his heel in-ring work is stale. People want to cheat him. Why they brought him back and had him turn, I don't know, unless it was just to kill time. Until the draft, because obviously the New Day feud isn't carrying on, thank God. but they can't, like, he has now got plenty of room to become the focal point of that brand, and this has to happen. It's now or never.
Raw then goes for Sasha Banks, the boss, which, you know, I guess if you're going to go for women, that's the second one you would go for. And then in retaliation to that, SmackDown decided you're not getting all three of the Divas Revolution women, so they took Becky Lynch.
And you see, I'm in two minds about this one, because on the one hand, I really like Becky. I think she's brilliant. And my problem with her is that I guess she was always going to play, you know, third place to Sasha and Charlotte if she was on the same brand as them. So to separate her from them and maybe make her the top female babyface on another brand is a great idea. Because I always thought, you know, that she was in danger of even not being in that WrestleMania match because it felt like it could be Sasha and Charlotte then. And
yeah, I actually...
But obviously, I don't know if there's going to be much of a division for her on SmackDown, though.
Well, I was going to say, I feel better about this after I saw the women that come in the supplemental draft, which we'll talk about. So Becky's there. Then we get to round four of the draft picks where Ross starts off with... Oh, no, sorry. No, we go back to Raw one more time for this round. So they pick SmackDown picked Becky Lynch, and then Raw decided to go with Chris Jericho, who I think stole the show in the draft center.
He was brilliant.
We were just sitting cackling away to ourselves.
He was absolutely brilliant.
And he's just shouting to Renee, I'm not doing your stupid show. I'm not doing Unfiltered. Oh, he's so good. Then in the next round, Raw again kind of taking everything. They've got the women's champion, the tag team champions. So they take the United States champion, Rusev, and Lana. They've kept them together sensibly this time.
Thank God.
And then in response, which, you know, it really had to happen, as much as Daniel Bryan said he didn't like this one, they need the Intercontinental Championship on SmackDown, so they pick The Miz with Maurice, which is... I mean, I like The Miz's act, so I feel like him is... I mean, I like... For whatever reason, I like the Intercontinental Championship being on SmackDown.
You know that he could lose it, though. And it could go the other way, right? Because isn't Darren Young on Raw?
Yeah, but then that would mean they'd probably have Zack Ryder beat Rusev.
And so Rusev, yeah. That could also happen.
Much rather see The Miz retain than see Rusev retain.
You never know.
Thank you, please. No thanks. next round, they kick off. Raw kicks off with... I think this is probably one of the ones that shocked us the most on this show. They picked Kevin Owens on Raw.
I can't believe that they're keeping Kevin and Sammy on the same show. I just thought that, but it just seemed like that was, if somebody said to me, give me a dead cert for the draft, I would say, dead cert, Sammy, Zayn, and Kevin Owens will be drafted to different shows, and their battleground match will be the last match they have with each other for a while. Like, that just seemed so certain to me.
Yeah, no, me too. It was a big shock, but... You know, I mean, yeah, I'm torn about it because I think I'd almost come to grips with the fact that we're going to be in separate brands. I was sort of expecting it, so it's just kind of tough to...
Do you think that... So, what I was surprised at, like, that kind of... I mean, they didn't really get enough time, but, you know, after WrestleMania where you had Cesaro, Sammy, Kevin, Miz, AJ, you know, you kind of had that great wrestler sort of group working Raw and SmackDown, and all those guys, I think, apart from AJ, have ended up on Raw. Do you think there's a chance that the reason that all those guys have been put on Raw is because, like, contrary to popular opinion, Ambrose will retain the WWE title on Sunday?
Well, see, the title stays on SmackDown.
And the title stays on SmackDown, and then they've drafted all those guys to Raw because if they do create a second world title, they want all those guys to compete in, like, a mini tournament or whatever.
Yeah, that could work.
I think it's still going to be Rollins and Reigns in the end of the day, but, you know.
Oh. I think a lot of this is going to... When we see next week's Monday, Tuesday TV, that's going to give us more of an idea.
Very interesting.
So we go back to... So, as I say, Raw picks Rusev in this round, SmackDown picks The Miz, Raw picks Kevin Owens, SmackDown then picks Baron Corbin... Oh, I like Baron Corbin. Yep. I do like him, and I think he has got something, but I just don't think he was the pick at this point of the show.
That was the moment where I started to slide a little bit down the couch, like, oh, because at this point, what you're telling me is in the story world, I know why it's not happening in the real world. I know, you know, don't tweet me and be like, you're an idiot. I know why it's not happening, but you've not given me a storyline reason for why Daniel Bryan is picking Baron Corbin when he could have Nakamura, Samoa Joe, or American Alpha.
It's very true.
And what has... I mean, Corbin's... Like, I think there's a lot of upside on him, but he's been so boring since WrestleMania.
Yeah, they've not done anything really special with him. And he had the never-ending feud with Dolph Ziggler.
And now they're both on the same brand.
Raw comes back for their final pick of the round, and it's Enzo and Cass that go on to Raw, which is fine. You know,
were you surprised that Enzo and Cass and the New Day ended up on the same... Because it's not like they're the same thing, right? But, you know, they're...
You would have thought that there'd be one big babyface act on each show.
Yeah, they would give, like, you know, they'd give New Day to Raw and Enzo and Cass to SmackDown just because they're, like, the big babyface team that has an entrance that everyone shouts along with, and it just seems a bit strange to me.
Yeah, no, I think Raw definitely seemed to hoard the tag teams. Speaking of which...
And the Cruiserweights and the women.
We get to the next round, and Raw's first pick is Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, which I love those guys. And I think as soon as we saw that they went to Raw, immediately we pieced together, AJ's on SmackDown, Balor's on Raw, the club are now on Raw.
Yeah.
It tells you who they're going to go with, which I'm a fan of. SmackDown...
Although they did say that the plan was... Well, Gallows Anderson in their kind of like interview in the center, they did say, you know, AJ will dominate SmackDown, we'll dominate Raw, and we'll still hang out and do our own thing. Like, we're still the club, we're not splitting up.
Which is actually a good story, because you could have Balor join eventually, that leads to Balor versus AJ.
Yeah.
At some point.
WrestleMania.
SmackDown then have their first sort of, you know, whoa, I'm almost floored pick, which is from NXT, they pick American Alpha.
Yep, which is... It's a great pick. It's just a shame that all the other tag teams seem to be... on Raw. Well, no, there are some tag teams that went to SmackDown, but yeah, I guess this leaves room for them to be the top babyface tag team on SmackDown, because obviously Enzo and Kath and the New Day are on Raw, so good for them.
And then we go
honestly,
back to...
a 20-minute alpha match every week on SmackDown, I'm happy.
Then we go back to Raw, and they pick The Big Show, which luckily Shane McMahon did make fun of, as he
yeah.
said.
Which way did he go?
And then we were kind of laughing along, going, ha 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 ha, they picked The Big Show. Come on, SmackDown. Show them what you're made of. And they picked Dolph Ziggler.
They could have picked Kane.
Although, yeah, it's true. Although, maybe I'm being just terribly optimistic here, so please feel free to shoot me down next week. But I think this could be a good thing for Dolph Ziggler.
In the same way that it's make or break for Bray Wyatt, this is really make or break for Dolph Ziggler.
And I think Dolph Ziggler has to turn heel. Immediately, he has like he's a good looking guy with a six pack. He's a heel. He's not a babyface. Like, not like what is likable about Dolph Ziggler?
Well, you know, when he bumps and stuff, it's like, oh, he's taking a lot of offense and he's coming
back. He bumps like Mr. Perfect, who used to be a great heel.
I know. I'm just saying.
Back to Raw, they pick another NXT talent who I was really happy about, and I don't know how you feel about it, Robert. Nia Jax.
I really like Nia Jax.
Did you see her reaction?
I saw her reaction, which she got... I know. But... She is... I really like her. I really like her. I think there's a big upside in her... In her long term, but... I don't think she's ready for this. I think, look at those, I mean, I don't know if you watched them, look at those episodes of NXT that me and Sandra talked about, where she still seems a little bit uncertain about the character, she still seems a little bit nervous sometimes in promos and stuff, and that's in front of the Full Sail crowd. Now she's going to be trying, and she's got this, her eyes betray her. If you watch her coming out, she's meant to be like a beast, you know, like this freak of nature, this dominant female Amazon. And she comes out and her eyes always give away the fact that she's nervous. I just don't think she's ready for this, and that's not the first time I'm going to say that about people that have been drafted from NXT.
Then we go back to... No, then that was the end of that round. Then we go to the final round of the televised show, where we had Neville for Raw, which makes sense if it's going to be a cruiserweight division.
Uh-huh, that one makes sense, at least.
This is where he'll thrive, because the thing is, with the best will in the world, Neville is never going to be a main eventer, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think he could be someone as a cruiserweight in that division that could really thrive. So I'm optimistic about that pick. SmackDown then retorted with Natalia.
Which, you know, you need someone else for that women's division. Now
you do. Raw then picked Cesaro, who then did a shoot promo, essentially, from what we're hearing online, where he basically talked about how he actually wanted to go to SmackDown, didn't think Raw was for him, and...
yeah, well, he said that, you know, SmackDown's going to be the wrestling show, and... You seem legit disappointed. Like, you could tell, I think, with that one, I said to you, like, do they really not know where they're going? And with him, it seemed very clear that he really didn't know what show he was going to.
Yeah, no, I don't think he knew.
Same with Nia Jax, obviously. Like, she was too visibly, like, upset and like, oh my god, about it to have even been told, so...
Then SmackDown's last pick of the night on TV, they said that it was going to be a fiery pick. We immediately despaired and thought it was Kane. But it was Alberto Del Rio who seemed absolutely uninterested that he was being put on SmackDown.
Yeah, he did a promo about it, and he was just like, you know, dude, got a SmackDown, that'll be good, and maybe I'll be the champion.
Yeah, he almost convinced himself.
Yeah, he was utterly shite. He's another guy, though, that's like...
Could really be make or break for him.
Yeah, but is it make or break, or are all these guys already broke? And they're just going to stink up SmackDown. I really hope he... Because he just... Oh, man, I wish he'd never come back. Like, for his own...
What a great star.
He looks fucking miserable all the time that he's there.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
Name one time since he's come back where he's looked like he's enjoying himself. Impossible.
Yeah, no, you're
and
right.
And now he's got Kalisto on SmackDown to feud with. Hooray.
The last pick for Raw on TV was Sheamus. Sheamus, again, someone who... is good, but he's just not really... I think it's a combination of the creative for him not being that great and him not sort of being out the box enough to do anything that's going to make him stand out.
Now, before we... Obviously, there's more picks to go, and that's all the picks for TV. When this was draft was first...
So let me go through it quickly, okay? So when TV was finished, here is the Raw roster. Seth Rollins, Charlotte, Finn Balor, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, The New Day, Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks, Chris Jericho, Rusev and Lana, Kevin Owens, Enzo and Cass, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, Big Show, Nia Jax, Neville, Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yep.
That is the Raw roster. The SmackDown roster is... Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, John Cena, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, Becky Lynch, The Miz and Maryse, Baron Corbin, American Alpha, Dolph Ziggler, Natalya, Alberto Del Rio.
When this draft was first announced, we did a podcast about various different opinions. One of the things I suggested to you was that they were doing this because everyone kept saying the roster has so much depth. And I said to you that I wonder whether it's just the illusion of depth. It seems like there's a lot of guys and there's a lot of really talented wrestlers, but there's not a lot of stars. A lot of really good wrestlers, not a lot of stars, and that when they drafted and they did the split, maybe it would feel a little bit one-sided, or maybe it would feel a little bit weaker than we'd hope. Do you think at the moment, I'm not judging the draft as a whole, because let's be honest, you know, when they did the draft back in 2002 and they drafted SmackDown and they had who they had, you know, nobody knew that that was going to become like an era-defining year on SmackDown that everybody would talk about years later in love. Same thing could happen here once, well, you know, they don't have distinct... That's the thing. I'd be much more interested at this point if they were telling me that the shows had distinct writing teams rather than distinct rosters. But, you know, it's going to be the same people writing both shows. Great. But yeah, so I mean, it's not me being totally negative. It does feel a wee bit like,
Yeah, no, I mean, when you read those rosters out or you look at them, Raw seems like the more stacked roster by far. But I don't think SmackDown's a washout. I mean, like,
no, it's not. It's definitely not.
You know, we've got Ambrose, Styles, Cena, Orton, Wyatt, American Alpha. I mean, that's all your big names that you've got, and then. The problem is that SmackDown relies more on people like, so for people like Becky Lynch and Natalya or Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler, I think they're all capable of putting on really good stuff, but it's just, will the creative be there to give them really good stuff?
I think we know the answer.
Let's just go through the supplemental picks. I'll not do it the same way back and forth, but I'll just read all the supplemental picks for each one and then we can go through it.
Yeah.
Here are Raw's supplemental picks. Golden Truth, Titus O'Neil, Paige, Darren Young and Bob Backlund, Sin Cara, Jack Swagger, the Dudley Boys, Summer Rae, Mark Henry, Braun Strowman, Bo Dallas, the Shining Stars, Alicia Fox, Dana Boobs, and Curtis Axel. And the big one from there is obviously Braun Strowman is no longer part of the Wyatts.
Good.
So hopefully he'll be on main event.
Hopefully once they see him on his own, he'll be exposed and they'll just chuck him. He's so shit.
He is shit. There's not really much to say about the supplemental picks for Raw. Like, they're all fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
But there's nobody there that's kind of... I actually think SmackDown did better on supplemental than Raw did, to be honest. Here are SmackDown's supplemental picks. They got the Usos, Kane, Kalisto, Naomi, The Ascension, Zack Ryder, Apollo Crews, Alexa Bliss, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, Eva Marie, The Vaudevillains, Eric Rowan, Mojo Rawley, and Carmella. I really like Alexa Bliss coming up. I think she'll be really good. As much as I really, really have issues with the guy, I think Kalisto will be good on SmackDown. I think that matches with guys like Randy Orton and AJ Styles and that sort of thing will be quite good. Eva Marie will be a tremendous character, if a terrible wrestler. And then Rowan and Wyatt together hopefully means that Harper's going to join them. So what did you think of the supplemental draft? So for Raw, with anybody that you wanted to talk about?
Not really. The Raw one is just the detritus, really, isn't it, of the roster. Everybody that was left that they could chuck. I mean, Raw was already so stacked. I didn't really expect them to put anybody of note on Raw where you'd be like, oh, you know, it's just everyone. You go, yeah, cool. Those guys are great, or girls are great, and they'll be on Raw. SmackDown, I felt I had to pull it back. And again, it's a bunch of guys with a lot of upside, but
four tag teams.
But there's an awful lot of they could really do with something. So Kalisto, Naomi, Zack Ryder, Apollo Crews, the Vaudevillains, you know, any of them actually, any of those guys and girls are kind of like, yeah, they're really great, but you know, the creative could be, as long as the creative's good, then it'll be, as long as the creative's good for them, then it'll be something. But I just, I'm hoping, but let's talk about the NXT picks. So obviously, they left three behind, Alexa Bliss, Mojo Rawley, fuck's sake, and Carmella. I just don't get what they're doing anymore, because I just wish they would pull up the people that are actually going to make them money. Just do it. So the NXT is meant to be developmental. Okay. It's not been for like a long time, over two years. At least since they started putting shows on the network is like specials, like the pay-per-views, like the takeovers. You know, once those started, it really wasn't developmental. And now they're like, I just feel like they're cutting their nose off to spite their face. Like, I think it needs to change. And I get it, you know, it's become another revenue stream. You know, they can sell out, the Barclays Center in Brooklyn based on that brand. And that's great, but you used to be able to sell out those venues based on Raw and SmackDown as well. And I just don't get it. I kind of just wish that they had sacrificed Triple H's indie fed to properly beef up Raw and SmackDown. So we're at a point where Carmella, Mojo Rawley, and Alexa Bliss, okay? Now, I've got no... I like Alexa Bliss. I have no issue with Carmella, really. I still think she's too green. Mojo Rawley's shit.
I think Carmella... I would have liked the Carmella pick to be with Enzo and Cass.
Mm.
I'd have been good with that.
Sure.
But not... I said this to Sondra, and I feel bad because I know Sondra loves her, but I just watch Carmella and I'm bored. I look at her and I go... If you look at babyface, like, so Nia Jax is an example, right? You were talking about how, you know, you think she's still quite green and stuff, and maybe she's not completely ready for the role.
Well, I think she would benefit from another year in developmental, really honing her character, but she's not going to get it Because now they're actually, for reasons I cannot fathom, they're actually more willing to send less experienced names out of developmental to pad out the main roster when their developmental, quote-unquote, roster is now stacked with guys who are experienced hands on live TV. And, like, I just don't get it. Like, why? Why?
You know why. Come on.
Because Triple H is an egomaniac and he's so happy that he's got his little indie fed that he can tour around.
Yes.
So the USA Network, right, are saying SmackDown's not pulling in the ratings, guys. You need to do something to fix this. And, like, it feels like cutting their nose off to spite their face. They're sending up people who are not going to make a difference to SmackDown to preserve a show which I know is loved, but only airs on their network. And people would probably keep watching anyway. In fact, we had a conversation, Sondra and Calvin Berry, two NXT fans who actually prefer NXT of the developmental days to what it is now. You know, they actually preferred the Hulu era, as they called it, to what it's become. I think a lot of the NXT fans would carry on watching it even if you did take a lot of these guys out. But it just, it's like, I am so, like, see if you really look at it purely from the point of view of business. Isn't it baffling that in the draft, they drafted up who they did, right, from NXT, and Bayley, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Bobby Roode, and Asuka, and I'm sure if I wasn't having the mind blank, we wouldn't have just come up with those six.
Ty Dillinger.
Dillinger is a better Mojo Rawley. I think he would have been better in that slot.
He's wrestled for a long time. He's ready.
Yeah, so he should be there, not Mojo Rawley, who no one likes. No one likes him.
Are you not hyped?
Shut up! And I'm just kind of looking at it going, so... And Dave Meltzer said that thing about Bayley, okay, which everybody took the wrong way, and they was like, you know, they're leaving money on the table by keeping her in NXT, because NXT... Yeah, okay, she's a draw for NXT, but she could be drawing on Raw or SmackDown every week. NXT, you know, they have their tapings at Full Sail. You know, they do their smaller tours, and then they tour the UK and all that kind of stuff. And I just think purely from a business point of view, I don't get what they're doing. I don't get it. Why would they not put these guys up and girls up?
It feels to me like what they're doing is, see, in 12 months' time, I don't envision things being the same landscape-wise. Like, it feels like in a year's time, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bayley, Asuka are all going to be up in the main roster because there's going to be two brands to fill, two pay-per-views every month that it's going to be needed. And I think that you'll find I know it should be now, but I'm saying I think it'll be another year. But put it this way, I don't think, and I could be wrong, I can't picture how they're going to do two pay-per-views a month, two separate touring brands of the main roster, and still have enough star power in their developmental to sell out Barclays Center next August. It doesn't strike me that that's going to happen.
I think they need to change their mind about what NXT is. They need to change it back.
Do you know what I think they need to do?
I think it's actually starting to hurt the product rather than help it. I know that's not going to be a popular decision, but it's no longer serving its purpose. It's morphed into something else, which was a lot of fun for a while, but they need to stop being precious about it and kill what it's become.
And do you know what else? See guys like The Big Show and all these veterans that are on this roster, they should be in NXT. Have them working with young guys down there. Why do we need to watch Mark Henry anymore? Or Kane? Or
you don't mean on the TV show, you mean just like
have them down there in Florida working. Have them on, do some programs on TV with them in NXT, and do some, like, if you, when Jim Cornette used to run OVW, he would bring, or Smoky Mountain or whatever, he would bring in veterans to work with the younger guys. You know, he would do his big OVW show, one of the matches would be with The Undertaker or whatever. So, like, have your NXT, and if you want to do one big show where there's a storyline with a main roster person, fine, do it. But they don't need to be there all the time. You know, Nakamura could essentially be on the main roster full time and still be on NXT if you for a couple of months as a sort of, you know, what's the word, like a temporary period, because they tape 2 days a month and that's it. Like, why can he not do both for now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they've started to get to sort of, we've now got this third brand, which is great. And don't get me wrong, the NXT has given me more great moments in the last 2 years than Raw and SmackDown have combined. Like, let's not make any bones about it. But I thought the purpose of that show, you know, that brand was to get people ready to come up. And now they're, like, actively keeping people back. And I wouldn't say anything if I didn't think that, you know, like, they are sending out people who are not ready. They are not ready. And they're going to fail.
I was going to say, though,
look at the history. Look at the history of the guys that have come up. It's not even fail, but think of Tyler Breeze or Kalisto. Like, they've not really set the world on fire. And do you think Mojo Rawley is?
Wait a minute. What I was going to say was, with somebody like Nia Jax, yes, she is inexperienced and she is green, but I have more faith in Nia Jax to succeed on the main roster than I do for Carmella or Alexa Bliss or Eva Marie, because I think that Nia Jax's act is easier to pull off in a way because she's a big monster.
Oh, yeah. I think so too. But I like I said, I like her. I just think she still has some development to do.
Oh, yeah, she does. But the problem I have, the issue that I have is more with Carmella being brought up, because with Nia Jax, I think there's money to be made pretty quickly with Nia Jax if you do it. Carmella, to me, is a very bland performer who, look at all the baby faces in the women's division. Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, say Bayley comes up, say Nikki Bella comes back. Is Carmella even a fifth as interesting as any of them?
Well, no, but I feel like we're bashing the wrong thing here. Like, yeah, sure, maybe there's money to be made with Nia Jax, but there's more money to be made with Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns or Shinsuke Nakamura versus John Cena. That's the real thing. That's the problem. I'm not going to quibble about who they've actually brought up, and I'm just going to lump them all together and just say none of them should be there. Mojo, Carmella, Nia. I don't think any of them should be there. I think they should be on NXT still, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just think if the real question is we're leaving money or there should be money to be made, then I don't know. Even Austin Aries should be up on the main roster. But it's it just baffles me, because I think that they're cutting their nose off to spite their face.
So overall, for the draft, how do you find Raw as it sits right now?
I think Raw's pretty strong. I actually don't know whether Raw will feel that much different.
Like, everybody's on there right now anyway, right?
Yeah, and you're kind of losing. Like, if you were to take, like, see if you look at that SmackDown roster, all you're really taking away right now is the John Cena and AJ Styles feud. Right? That's the only thing really coming off Raw. So I don't think Raw next week will really feel that much different. SmackDown will be more interesting to see what they do. I feel like it's more of a fresh start for those guys. Especially Ambrose, because win or lose, the two guys he's in the match with on Sunday are not going to be on the same show as him next week. So it's a new feud, no matter what, for Ambrose, whether he's a champion or not, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right.
Unless they decide champions can float, which they haven't. I haven't said anything about yet. Seems a bit weird.
I think overall, I don't feel like it's a failure. I don't feel
well, you can't,
overly...
there's no way to judge it yet.
But I don't feel overly negative about it. Like, I do like some of the SmackDown picks and some of the dynamics. But like you say, like, I'm actually far more interested in watching SmackDown next Tuesday than I am Raw next Monday, because Raw, I kind of know what I'm going to get. But with SmackDown, I'm just not sure how it's going to be presented. So I'm looking forward to watching what SmackDown are going to do for the month leading up to SummerSlam.
But yeah,
I'm intrigued.
This is my final thoughts. It's not a disaster. It's not a failure. You can't judge a failure yet. Orlando, you know, we'll do a podcast after WrestleMania next year where we talk about how the brand split's gone as a whole. I think everybody on both brands are talented. Even by saying, you know, being really mean and being like, oh, I don't think those guys should be there yet. I'm not being horrible to them. I like them all, apart from Mojo Rawley. I just think that it'd be better for them to be somewhere. I mean, even just think about it this way, right? Just to be a dick about it for a second. Nia Jax, right, is what? What is her, what's her selling point? What's her thing when she comes to Raw?
She's a beast.
And the clip that they are putting everywhere on the internet is her bursting into tears when she's been drafted to Raw.
Yeah.
Okay? So fair just point. Stuff like that. Like, why? Like, they need to be smarter. Anyway, my problem, I think the two rosters have big potential, and I really, really hope that, because right now I want to watch both shows. I really do. I want to try and see Raw and SmackDown every week, and I hope they can keep that level of interest up, because I want to see what they're going to do. And I think it's a fresh start for a lot of guys, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's good. My disappointment comes from the fact that they said that they were going to, you know, revolutionize the landscape of the WWE, and they had the potential to really do it. But to do it, they had to have a set of balls, or a set of lady balls, and and I think that what they had to do was, unfortunately, eviscerate the NXT roster. And and they didn't want to do it because
I think
just reasons. And I think that disappoints me a little bit. Also, they could have brought in someone from the outside, maybe like someone that re-signed somebody just to, and they didn't do that either. And I remember just thinking about, you know, when it was first announced, I just thought, well, this could be cool. But if they literally just split this roster in two, I'm not sure there's enough stars or enough guys being booked properly to make it work without, you know, cribbing from other places. And that's kind of what they've done. So I'm definitely being more negative about it than you are, but I don't think it's going to be terrible. I just think that once again, I don't think WWE have seen something through to their fullest potential that they could if they really tried. And, you know, but, you know, the way they do things is usually they get their hooker by crook and we get something decent in the end. So maybe it'll be fine. But I'm a little bit kind of, I just feel like they promised more than they delivered. But the rosters are good, and I think that everybody's got a lot of potential to do something good, and I just hope that the writing's there to support them.
Yeah. Raw's clearly ahead in the star stakes, but maybe that means SmackDown's going to, you know, quietly become the show to watch. You never know. I do think it's interesting as well that...
Killer storylines is what SmackDown needs, I think.
It feels as well like there is a backstage political power play happening with Triple H and Vince, because Triple H is not allowing, like you say, not allowing NXT to be raided, not allowing the top guys to be taken out.
Do you think they should have just said, look, Triple H, take SmackDown. Do what you want with it.
They should have.
And
because then at least he would have put his guys on.
A sort of NXT halfway house as well. And that way he could have been in charge of writing and producing SmackDown, and Vince / Steph could have been in charge of Raw, and there might have been some actual competition, and maybe we would have got something happening. But I mean,
I think that's what it's going to morph into the next couple of years.
Because
I think Triple H
will get... you know, a lot of people have said that, you know, Triple H's NXT is a power play. It's like a secret calling card to fans to be like, I'm the guy you want in charge ultimately. And it's, you know, it's all political and blah, 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 blah.
He's doing the Cruiserweight Classic, you know?
Yeah. He's doing all this stuff to try and undermine Vince ultimately and get people, like, get fan support on his side, because Triple H is the guy to give
NXT.
Men's
division.
He gave us the women's division. He gave us the CWC. And I get all that kind of stuff, but I just think that, God, this would have been a time just to sort of maybe make some maneuvers so that, you know, we didn't just get hours 4 and 5 of Raw, which kind of haunts.
Okay, before we finish, just very quickly, it is our Battleground preview. Here we go.
Are we not doing another show before Sunday?
No, this will be it. This will be our last one before Sunday. And then next week it's a Monday show, a Raw rundown, a roundtable, a SmackDown show.
You'll be getting
more of us next week than you would ever need in your life. But okay, here we go. Sasha Banks and a mystery partner against Charlotte and Dana Boobs. I guess, who do you think the mystery partner is going to be, and who is victorious?
I don't think it is going to be Bailey.
Do you know who I think it is?
Who do you think it is?
I think it's Nikki Bella.
That's not a bad shout.
I thought it was Bailey, and then it's just somebody saying.
I think Sasha needs to lose here. I think maybe.
Do you know what would be glorious though? See if Sasha was to lose here, and then Sasha won the title in New York at SummerSlam, and the next night she turns heel, and at the end of the show she's having a celebration as a heel, and Bayley debuts. And that's
I think we need to get one more snidey win for Charlotte before she ultimately loses the next month. Because I feel like that's what's going to happen, you know.
Nikki Bella would be interesting to get back into the mix.
I don't know who it'll be. Maybe they'll put Nia in there. Maybe she turns on Sasha. I don't really know, because I think if it is Bailey, it'll be like a one and done thing. She'll be back to NXT for a month. So
the last, I'm gonna go with Charlotte and Dana Boobs. Last time that the Wyatt family will get their hands on the New Day.
New Day. I think this is a one time thing. Like the feud cannot continue.
I think Strowman takes the pin.
Baby faces go over.
There you go. I think I'm going to contradict your opinion. I think the Wyatts are going to be victorious in this one. Rusev and Zack Ryder for the United States Championship. Rusev for the win, please.
Oh dear.
Don't.
I just wonder whether they are going to do a thing where they, like, when one of the matches comes on first, and then they're like, oh shit, like SmackDown now has both mid-card titles, like we really need Darren Young to beat The Miz, and then Darren Young beats The Miz, and Darren Young is kind of on a inexplicable hot streak. Are they going to do a title switch where both belts switch brands to kind of make it more noteworthy?
No. Rusev for the win, I hope. I'm just trying to ignore what you're saying because I don't want it to happen. Darren Young versus The Miz. I'm going to go for The Miz retaining.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go for Rusev and Miz retaining, but I don't know. Not 100% on that.
You think Ryder and Young?
I'm going to go with Rusev and Miz because I don't think they're going to do it, but I think it would really amp up the idea of brand warfare. If like one brand ends up with both titles mid-show and they're like, oh shit, like, we really need the other guys to win. Be interesting.
Do you know what would be quite cool is if Rusev, say Rusev won and then Darren Young won the title from Miz, and it's like, woo, Raw's got the two titles, and then somehow they do a thing by the end of the night that Rusev's actually signed to SmackDown. Like somehow Rusev is like, there's like a trade, like he's signed something that he gets to go to SmackDown and take the US title. Mainly just because I think that would be a better show, is to have Rusev on SmackDown with the US title.
But then you don't get to see him. But you just don't get to talk about him. Who knows?
Probably for the best. Then we have coming up next on the show, Becky Lynch versus Natalia in a singles match, which if it doesn't get taken care of here, then it'll happen on SmackDown again.
Yeah, I think Becky Lynch will win.
I think Natalia wins this one, and Becky has to get the win back at SummerSlam. Mm. Cena and Enzo and Cass against the Club. This is the last time we're going to get to see this because Cena and AJ go to SmackDown, and the other four go to Raw.
I just don't see Cena losing 2 months in a row, and this is a way for him to get a win, kind of, without actually beating AJ. And then AJ, you know, challenges him for SummerSlam. I think Cena, Enzo, and Cass might win this.
Yeah, I'm the same. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. I'm going to go for Sami Zayn here. I think he gets the win.
Didn't Sami pin him on Raw not that long ago?
Yeah, I think he did.
But they've traded so many wins. I think this is a no contest.
Interesting.
I don't think there's a winner. I think they might be stretching this out.
Main event, triple threat match, WWE title, Ambrose, Rollins, Reigns. Who do you have?
I think the fair thing to say about this card is I think anything could go either way, really. Doesn't really feel like anything's a dead cert, which is fun. You know, it's fun to be wrong or to be right or to get a right prediction. Oh, jeez.
I don't think there's a clear winner here. There's a double thing.
Well, it just depends on whether they're going to have more than one world champion. Because if they're going to be more than one world champion, maybe there's some kind of shenanigans. But they did just do that on Monday. But then, obviously, Rollins got beat clean on SmackDown by Ambrose, which never happened before. It was funny, like, when this match was announced, I was 100% of the belief that Roman was going to win it back. But obviously, a lot has happened in the last 5 weeks. And I'm not really sure. But I just don't know if Ambrose... I don't know whether they would let Ambrose be the guy to win this Shield triple threat. Because I don't really think that's how they think of him. And if Roman had been on TV for the last 5 weeks, I'd be 100% picking Roman Reigns to get his belt back. But... oh, geez. I really don't know. I don't know. What do you think? Are you picking someone?
I think it's going to be a double pin.
There's three of them.
I think it'll be like... I think Ambrose has to be involved because it would be like a Raw SmackDown thing. So I think it's going to be like a, you know, Reigns and Ambrose both, it's like a draw between them or something, and then that's how they end up doing two titles. Or I feel like it's going to be something like that. I'd be very shocked if it's just a clean victory. And then if it's a victory for Rollins or Reigns, then Jesus Christ, you may as well just take out a SmackDown flag and piss on it.
Maybe they will.
Drink it in, man.
I don't know. Yeah, I think Ambrose might retain, actually, which seems... I would never have said that 5 weeks ago, but you're right, you know, if it's a clean win for Rollins or Reigns, then what happens for SmackDown? Unless that's the hook for the first sort of normal live episode of SmackDown, what happens?
Yeah, it's interesting. And then the last thing is that we forgot to talk about is the WWE have announced they are shaking up the commentary teams.
Oh, yeah.
Raw is...
Bye-bye, Jerry Lawler, you weird creeper.
Raw is going to have Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton. And SmackDown is going to have Mauro Ranallo, JBL, and David Otunga. Ugh. But you know what? I do want to defend this because some people are saying, oh, well, you know, couldn't we just have Mauro and Corey together? And it's like, well, Mauro's amazing and Corey's amazing. So it does make more sense to have them separately putting their goodness on both shows rather than...
But why did I get drafted to the show with fucking Jibble on it? JBL. Big Jibble tits.
At least you've got Otunga to balance it out.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely. Oh, wonderful. David Otunga. The new JTG. Is this man still employed? Yes.
Do you not think that JBL will benefit from working with Ronaldo a little bit?
Only if like Ronaldo is allowed to call him out on his nonsense. Which I hope he will be. I actually thought Ronaldo and Cole were really good together.
They were. I liked it.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll do that for the pay-per-view. Have the four of them.
Yeah, I guess they might.
But I'm really happy for Corey Graves. He is one of the I got a little bit mean when we were talking about those NXT call-ups. I actually like Carmella a lot more than you. And you know how much I really love Nia Jax and her theme tune. And I think she's an absolute babe. And I fucking hate Mojo Rawley, though. But I didn't mean to be so mean about them. I just think that they should be... I think they should just be in NXT for a wee bit longer. But Graves is, like, a brilliant call-up. Because he is so good. And I'm just really, really happy for him. Because, obviously... like, if you're really, really new to watching it, like, you might not know the obviously he's an in-ring guy, and then he had injuries, and he had to retire. It was, like, was it concussion-related stuff as well for him?
It was concussion, yeah.
And, you know, that could have been, like, total career-ending stuff where he just... and he threw himself right into commentary and became brilliant in a really short period of time, and I really like him, and I'm so, so glad that he got to go to the flagship show, which it still is, let's face it, without having to go like via SmackDown or anything. Like they obviously know and trust him and being really good. There's just one thing that I would like. I'd really like there to be a lady on one of the commentary teams.
See,
I think that's the next mission. I'm not saying put Renee in there, because obviously
I don't think she's a great commentator.
She's better at what she does. She's great at what
it'd be like putting Mean Gene in the announcement.
I'd like that to be the next segment they look out. Like, I'd love them to find like a great female sportscaster to anchor one of the shows, Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. I think that could be like something to keep their eyes out on.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I want to close this by asking you one question. Now, I've asked you this question before, but I want to ask you on the show. I want you to give me the answer that you gave me when I asked you.
Yes.
So as we bid you farewell, thank you everybody for everything. Thanks for the Paul Heyman tour. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for keeping with us and supporting us. We really appreciate it. We hope that this has been a nice kind of, you know, chat about the draft, where we've kind of been able to kind of discuss it a little bit and see where we think it's going.
It's been a good conversation.
It has, yeah. I like it. But the question I posed to you last night is, I'm going to say it again. Robert.
Yes.
So, see if I said to you that you had to have sex with Bob Backlund, and if you did, Daniel Bryan would commit retirement. Would you pump Bob Backlund?
I'd give Bob Backlund the ride of his life. In fact, Kenny, I'd pump the dust off him. I would do anything to get D-Brow back. If pumping Bob Backlund could reverse the terrible things that have happened to Daniel Bryan's brain, all of his concussion problems and stuff, I'd rattle Backlund for hours until his brain was that of a 15-year-old.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. You can follow Robert at Bertie_ITR.
We're going to make Daniel Bryan great again. Alan Proven sent me a message actually saying, how quickly can we lube him up? And I'm like, mate, we don't have time. We need Bryan back quickly. I'm going in dry.
Oh, God. So Robert's away to SmackDown. I'm away to Raw. It's going to be emotional.
I'll see you on Monday.
Right, see you Monday. Bye.